You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding with you on this Boxing Day to look ahead to the Leopardstown card. Hope you, listener, had a very happy Christmas and a prosperous Boxing Day ahead. Fingers crossed. And the same applies to you, Mr. Holding. How are you? How was your festive period?
Yeah, very nice. Slightly different change of tack. Wasn't at home. Actually spent it away down the relations in Devon. I was going to say sunny Devon, but unfortunately, we're like everywhere else in the country. It's been very much windswept and of a damp theme. But yeah, all went well. Got some half decent presents. No take backs, which is always pretty good. I always think you can judge your present buying ability on if your wife ends up asking for a multitude of receipts. But luckily managed to escape that this time.
Okay. Well, we'll wait and see. It's only been a day, Andy. There's time for that.
Yeah, she's yet to try it on yet.
As for today's action, obviously great racing all around the country and in Ireland as well. We're recording this at about 20 to 10. We've lost Weatherby and we've lost Limerick. Hopefully that's going to be it. But there's so much other racing, it almost slips under the radar, doesn't it? I mean, there are so many meetings today, it's hard to know where to start. Thankfully, we know that we're doing Leopardstown and it's a cracking card, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a no-win situation really on days like today, because you have all this tremendous quality racing littered in and amongst so many meetings. It's difficult to absorb it all, really. So I tend to just concentrate, if I can, on the better meetings, really, certainly from a punting perspective. Obviously, smaller fish are sweet, just as sweet, but I'm looking at least two or three bets here along with Kempton as well, because that's where I just feel as though most of the quality racing will be, and that's where the best bets will be.
Okay, right then, we'll start with the 12:15. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and there's some likely types in here, Andy. As you often see with these kind of races at Leopardstown, Coley Island heads affairs at the time of recording from Beau Môme. We've got Bald Dark and Billy's Hope, who are also fairly well fancied, and Tesseract, who arrives here in good form. Like I said, plenty. You won't be surprised if any of the horses that I've just named there won, Andy, but there could be one or two really top-class horses in here. What do you fancy?
Yeah, I'm really keen on one in this race, Alex, to be honest. I'm going to make this horse my nap of the day, get it over and done with early. And that's Coney Island, a horse who's had a couple of runs. Although he's yet to win, he's running two very, very hot races. Certainly on my speed figures anyway. That last run at Navan was one of the best main hurdles, if not the best main hurdle I've got so far this season. Went the way of Jessica Harrington's Woodland Opera. But back in second was Edward Hartis Charge, who once again showed with a degree of encouragement like he did on debut behind Chesterfield Avenue at Nace, keeping on very well for an unpromising position. Certainly think he's a kind of horse that's improving with more racing. And the time figure of that race is exceptionally good for a race of its nature. The front three pull well clear. I do think these three are very much graded horses in the making, if the numbers are what I've got are correct. Certainly Jessica Harrington feels that way with her horse who won the race, because that horse is entered in the Paddy Power Grade 1 Novices Hurdle tomorrow. And we've certainly got a good marker on that card as well, because Falcon Crest, who won the Grade 2 race, the very next race on the card, was a full 20 lengths slower than this maiden hurdle on the final circuit. So I'm pretty convinced this Coney Island is very useful. And coming from the 8th yard that's in very good form at the moment, of course, Moon Over Germany won for them the other day. I'd expect this horse to finally get off the mark.
Okay, Coney Island then, a confident pick in the 12:15. The 12:45 is next up. Another maiden hurdle, this time over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. And it's a really, well, it's an intriguing race, this, Andy, because at the head of affairs you've got Vigil, who's been very well backed. Obviously a very smart horse brings some very, very good bumper form to the table. Very speedy horse. May just have a little bit too much toe here, but comes up against, again, some nice types. You've got Don't Touch It, who has been in pretty good form of late. And also Artois Phil, who was a very unfortunate loser the other day, just 4 days ago, of course. Well, officially, you know, didn't really run, did he? Let's be honest. Got carried out in the first bend. Very unfortunate there. There may be a few punters looking to get their money back on him here. He's certainly a bigger price than he was, but it's a better race.
Yeah, it certainly is, I think so. Three options, really, that punters have got here. You either pile into the short price favourite, like many will. Certainly looks the form horse on what he did in bumpers anyway. Of course, fifth in the Champion One at Cheltenham behind Moon Racer, which is a very good race this year. He's already won at the track. He beat Bells Hill in a bumper over the Christmas period at this meeting last year. And, you know, we know how good that form is. Soft ground's not a problem. As well fresh, because he won first time off the shelf last year and he's up to scratch. You don't often see too many Dermot Wild horses run and jump moderately on their debuts. And he clearly is the one to beat, as the market suggests, and he could well follow the same footsteps as, of course, stable representative last year, Windsor Park, who I think ran in this race last year and then, of course, went on to win at the Cheltenham Festival. So we're a trend follower and a follower of stables that often follow the same kind of blueprint, then you'd want to be with this horse. But I do think Don't Touch It certainly appeals to most anyway, including me, as an each-way alternative. You can get 7-2. I've actually seen 4-1 floating around in the village for this horse, and it's hard to see him being out of the frame, to be honest, because he's got that vital experience of having to run over hurdles under his belt behind Stonehard down in Garran. I know William Wonders quite rates that horse, and he was in the process of running a big race the other day in a Grade 2, and unfortunately he unseated rider down the back straight. He's got some good form in bumpers as well. The yard's in great nick. And all in all, it's very difficult to see, like I say, Don't Touch It not finishing in the first three here. So with the dead-end runners going to post, hopefully, touch wood, they all will go. He's the way I'll approach this race.
OK, so two JP horses in the first two races for Andy at Leopardstown. Wonder if fancies one in the third, because Campeador runs for Gordon Elliott. He wouldn't have many with this ownership. But again, it's a very, very hot race. It is the 120, and it's a Grade 2 juvenile hurdle. 2 miles the trip. Footpad heads affairs, but only just as we speak for Willie Mullins. Obviously very much respected connections there, but comes up against Rashan, who's been very, very smart in his career to date, remains unbeaten. You've got Jer's Girl, who's created a decent impression so far as well. And there's some other types. I mean, ones at bigger prices who maybe their day may not be today, but this race is packed full of types for the future as well, Andy, isn't it?
I think so, Alex. Yeah, good show. I think you set this race really nicely. This is definitely the best juvenile hurdle we've seen so far, either side of the Irish Sea. Funny enough, I don't think we've seen that many quality youngsters in this country. Obviously, that horse of Paul Nichols is at one at Newbury the day, looks probably the pick. But he's seen as a more long-term chasing prospect. I don't think he'll probably be running in the Triumph Hurdle this year. We're waiting, really, for the Simon Munir bandwagon to sort of slip the way through. I suppose School Royale is probably the pick of them so far. So this is likely to have an effect on the Triumph Hurdle betting, so do keep an eye on this race today. Shan has really been the find in this department so far this season. From humble beginnings, Colin Kidd's charge has won 3 off the reel, starting as Roscommon, going all the way through to Listolin at Ferry House of the day when he won a Grade 3. And I don't think you should be underestimating this horse's capabilities, because he beat a horse of Gordon Elliott called Miss Tata, who he was well backed off the back of a good and impressive win the time before. So, like I say, he's a dangerous one to write off totally. Obviously, Footpad represents big connections, Willie Mullins and Simon Munir, and impressive at Garran on his debut as well. But similarly to the front turn of market here, I do think Jer's Girl is quite useful in this sphere, certainly what we've seen so far to date. And just because she's trained by Gavin Cromwell, we shouldn't certainly disregard her totally here. I really like her attitude. She jumps extremely well. She's one of those type of juveniles that really looks and is excited to see the next hurdle come up in her way. And at Aintree, she totally turned away a decent field in fairly good fashion. She goes on soft ground. She's an honest type. She'd probably make the running here, to be honest. And she comes from, of course, the bloodline of Ara Connor, being a daughter of Jeremy. So, all in all, a really good juvenile hurdler that should tell us quite a bit about where we stand with these juveniles. But I do like Jer's Girl, and she's available back at 5-1 this morning, which means an each-way bet is definitely in the offing.
OK, Jer's Girl then, in the 120. The 150 is next up, a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 2 furlongs, and it's a very, very open race, Andy. One of the most open races that you'll see on a day like this. Dollar in a Dream heads affairs at 7-2. For Tony Martin, who we know can ready one for a race like this. But to be fair, the horse has been in good form recently as well. He's also got Spacious Sky, who's next in the market. That one has shown a little bit less of late, but again, has the form in the book. Plenty of others, though, that you could give chances to. Obviously, you're going to be looking for an each-way play in this, but where does your pin come down on this one, Andy?
Yeah, you're right. Martin has got a strong hand here. The bookmakers certainly feel so as well. Front two in the betting in the shape of Dollar and a Dream and Spacious Sky. But I'd probably look elsewhere for a little bit of value in this race. And looking a little bit further down the list, I quite like the chances of Tongi from an each-way perspective. We can get 20-1, 16-1 roughly for this horse. And he does a slightly disappointing run, it has to be said, but I put that down to the fact that he tried to make all the running that day and he didn't quite get the trip against strong staying types such as Roman Gold and Just Cause. And in the end, he weakened quite tamely from two out, but he'd gone really well up to that point. So it certainly suggested to me that distances in and around today's mark of around 2 mile 2 should be absolutely ideal for this horse. Certainly, he saw out the 2 mile 3 journey when he won at Limerick the time before. And if you get 2 mile 3 around Limerick, you should be absolutely fine here. Obviously, it's his first race away from the sort of smaller provincial tracks, but hopefully he'll cope with it okay. He's quite a nice, honest, genuine type, and I do think he's been slightly overlooked here this morning. So Tongi, each way, as I said, if you can get around about 16, 20-1, I think we'll get a decent run for our money there.
Okay, fair enough. Then next up we go to the 220, which is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Again, plenty of respected connections who bring horses into this race. Not least, Decisive Network, who just heads affairs at the time of recording at around the 4-1 mark, brings some decent form to the table, but no winning form. That said, there aren't many horses in this race that have been winning all that frequently of late. An open race this, Andy, and that's reflected in the betting.
Yeah, this is a trappy race, if ever you saw one, as you quite rightly pointed out. I must admit, I do struggle with these 2 mile handicaps in Ireland. I tend to think they beat each other week in, week out, very much like 5 furlong sprinters. And when I'm tackling a race like this, I often go for a horse that I'm pretty sure I can rely upon to run a decent, solid enough race. And that falls down on the side of Diceus from the Dennis Cullen stable, who I actually put up last time out at Ferry House. And to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed he finished out the frame that day. But that said, Robbie Power lost his irons at an early juncture and obviously he lost a little bit of impetus and his position up the inside. He managed to get back the deficit which he lost, but unfortunately that took its toll in the latter stages when he didn't quite have the stamina to see all the way through the to the line behind Nearly Named. But that was a decent race at 0-142, and I think this is just a slight climb down from that standard, albeit several reopposed in this particular race today. He's got some good form around this track as well. He's a winner here over hurdles, of course. That was indeed his last victory. And the last time he shipped up here over fences, he chased down the very useful size in granite in a four-runner race on heavy ground. So, like I say, he stacks up quite nicely here, Diceus. He often runs his race, which is what we're looking at. And he's 8-1 this morning with William Hill, actually the best price in the village. So, if in doubt, go for a horse that you know is going to be reliable, and that is definitely Diceus.
Okay, the penultimate race on the card is the Racing Post Novice Chase, a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles and 1 furlong. It's coming up at 2:55, and there's only 4 runners going to post, Andy, but 4 high-class runners. Velvet Maker, can't discount completely, but you'd imagine that the other three will have a little bit too much for him here. The other three, of course, being Duvan, who is the 4-7 market leader, Titty Bob, who is 4-1, and Sizing John at 5s. Whatever happens, you've got three lovely, lovely chasing prospects here. Would you expect Duvan once again, Andy, to just have too much?
Not necessarily, Alex. I think this is the best race on the card by distance. I'd probably say it's the second best race of the whole day, because other than the King George, I think quality-wise, we're looking at the very best young novice chasers coming through here. Obviously, we've got the hardcore favourite, Duvan, who took the Supreme Novices last year and is always expected to make him into a chaser, and certainly did nothing wrong at Navan on his debut when he beat Road Trader and Bear Perone. The strict interpretation of that form would leave him with a little bit to find, and certainly speed figure-wise, he comes right down at the bottom of my list, actually, on the numbers. But that doesn't really tell the whole story. Of course, he was full of running all the way through that race, and he could have gone a good deal quicker. That said, this is a much stiffer task, and He's going to be taken into places he's yet to go over fences so far, courtesy of three other very, very strong contenders here. In particular, to Bob, the second favourite, who has to be the revelation in the novice chase department in Ireland so far this season. Two wins from two runs and two extremely eye-catching jumping displays as well. At Thurles, he was spring-heeled. And then at Navan the other day, absolutely slaughtered a very good horse in the shape of Lord Scoundrel. He made that horse look decidedly slow. A time figure the race is sensational compared to the other races on the card. And he just seems to have gone into a different stratosphere over fences compared to his hurdle mark. You often get that when you get horses that just sort of attack their fences and become a couple of grades higher because they really enjoy what they're doing. He makes a lovely shape over a fence. And as I said, I do think he'll put it up to this lot today. And certainly from a value perspective at 4-1, I'm willing to take a chance that he might just put the other three under pressure. Don't forget, Vator got beat in this race last year when he was put under pressure. And he was taken into zones that he didn't really enjoy. So let's go with Jessica Harrington's charge here. He's a bit of a sporting choice. Obviously, Duvan is the one to beat, but he's no back number this to Bob. And as I said, he's definitely overlooked for me at 4-1.
Okay, the final race on the card is the 3:25. It's a bumper over 2 miles. And there could be a really nice Willie Mullins charge in here in the form of Bacardi's 4-6 favourites at the time of recording. The two main market rivals, or what you'd expect it to be, are both on the drift in Thirsty Work and Grotesque. It's then 7-1 from 10s for Borderline Chateau, a bit of money for the Fleming charge there. It's then 20s or bigger the rest. This race revolves around the Mullins charge, and obviously we don't know that much about him, but from what we've heard, could be a nice type.
Could be, yes. Certainly a play on words potential forecast here, isn't there, with Thirsty Work and Bacardi's here. And, given that William Mullins has spoke quite highly and favourably of Bacardi, a lot of punters will be looking to get with this horse, and clearly that's the way the market's operating this morning, as you can only get 4-6 top price for William Mullins' charge. Of course, won a point-to-point very easy by 9 lengths on his only start. Clearly we don't know how good he can be, or how good the others are in comparison with him, which is always the case in these bumper races. But if the vibes are right, then this horse should win. One perhaps at a bigger price, just to have a little small look at. Of course, we get a chance to look at the form in the shape of Coney Island in the first race. But if that horse wins or runs well, as I expect, then maybe Mac is worth a little bit of a small look, maybe without the favourite. Because that horse finished fourth behind Wonderland Opera in that said maiden hurdle at Navan. And albeit he's probably got form a little bit below and what you normally expect of a bumper. Because he's got a bit of experience and fitness on his side, he might be able to pick up some pieces later on and finish in the frame. It's just one to look at a bigger price if you're thinking of playing. But Bacardi's very much the talking horse in the final race. And because he comes from the Mullins stable, who am I to stand in anyone's way backing him?
OK, Bacardi's hard to beat, but Bobo Mac one to look at a big price. 22-1 as we speak, so wouldn't be the worst each-way play that you've ever seen. Great stuff, Annie. Just before you go, you mentioned, obviously, we've got that fantastic novice chase. You said that was the second best race of the day, obviously, across Boxing Day. The William Hill King George, obviously, coming up from Kempton, an absolutely scintillating renewal. What do you think will win it?
Funny enough, I normally I have a strong opinion of King George, but this year I haven't. I just think it's such a mouth-watering and glittering array of talent has lined up in it that I'm actually going to bypass it and just sit back and watch. My speed figures point in the direction of Don Cossack. But that said, you know, this race is all about getting into a good rhythm and which horse is going to see out the trip, because I do think you'll need a strong stayer here today. So that might just tip it in the favour, perhaps, of horses like Smad Place. I think they'll come into the equation. And it'll be interesting to see how Kew Card performs in the race along with Vator over 3 miles for the first time. So all in all, a real difficult race to get involved in from a betting perspective. More a visual spectacle than anything else. And if you gave me a bet, it would be Don Cossack, just because he's the top of my numbers. But I'm not going to have a bet in the race this year.
Okay, but a fantastic renewal. I'll even switch off from Leopardstown, Andy, to go and watch that one.
So, so will I.
Right, great stuff. We're going to catch up with you tomorrow ahead of Leopardstown once again. But enjoy all of Boxing Day's action, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, good luck, everyone. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.